Now, this is a total diversion. So what you get is, right, it's a four-dimensional integral, so you do one of the integrals. So you have a, you know, if this is over some four-dimensional volume, this is some three-dimensional boundary of that volume. Maybe off at infinity or some boundary, but mu del phi. But the important point, that's an outward normal to that volume, d3x. The point is you demand that this vanish on the boundary. So you get to throw out this term in any case. So then you're left with these terms, minus integral d4x. And now what have we got? Minus I d mu psi bar gamma mu minus m psi bar. And you've got the del psi free. This is arbitrary, so that equals zero is your field equation. I pulled out the minus. So.
Hey, what's with the room change?
Bob Trump was giving a test next door. So,
it's okay. No one's in there now.
Oh, are they done?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you guys want to go back? It is a little crowded here.
I'm good, either way.
Yeah, there's no one for Nathan. hang on a sec. Let me finish this. We're almost done with this. Then we can go back to the other room. Or, you know, we'll ask again and see if you're settled. So this is IV mu psi bar gamma mu plus psi bar. So that's the conjugate Dirac equation there. Now, psi bar, remember, has a, it's really psi dagger gamma zero. And there's a gamma zero in there. And the reason for that, okay, if you take the conjugate of this equation, what happens is three of your Dirac matrices are Hermitian and one's anti-Hermitian. Because one has the square of minus one, it's got to be anti-Hermitian.
Right.
And so if you take the dagger of this, we should get back to where we started. We're going to have psi gamma zero dagger. The gamma mu dagger gamma zero will reverse. You've got a product here. The two matrices are going to flip. And then, let's see, m psi bar gamma zero dagger equals zero. So, let's see, that's good. You've got the minus sign here, but then this, gamma mu dagger, splits into two bits. You've got gamma I dagger and gamma zero dagger. And this, I believe, is minus gamma zero, and this can be chosen to be Hermitian. let's assume we've made that choice and see what happens. I think that'll work right. So what happens is we have minus, let's see, d0 here, phi, then you have, these are going to be, for the zero term in the sum, you have minus gamma zero twice, and the minus sign goes away. Then when you have I here, you have spatial derivatives of phi, and then just gamma I, and a minus gamma zero makes that a plus. Then here you have, that's not bar, because you pulled out the gamma zero. This one becomes minus. Now, problem in this room, there's only one eraser, so if it escapes, we're in trouble. Escaping erasers.
I think it's going to migrate that direction to the right.
Up there. So we'll rely on Nathan to grab it if it makes a break through the door.
Sure.
Let's see, where was I here? This got rid of that minus sign. This term we have minus M by M zero equals zero. So those two signs go away. What do we have now? If I flip those, nothing happens. If I flip those, I get a minus sign. So I can write the whole thing as gamma 0 times, let's see, minus I d0 psi gamma 0. Let's see. This should have been on the other side of this. This should have been on the other side. So, so we have gamma 0, we have minus I d0 psi from this term. Here, we interchange those two, we get a minus sign. So we get minus I gamma I, these two should be on the opposite side of psi. When I took the dagger here, sorry, I had, you see, d mu phi bar gamma mu. So there's a derivative of phi dagger gamma zero gamma mu. I want to take the dagger of the whole thing, and what that's going to give me is gamma mu dagger, gamma zero dagger acting on psi. So the psi should be on the right. So all of these psis here should be on the other side. That's why I have to get this gamma zero off to the left. Then here, let's see, we have di psi. And I pulled out that gamma zero. And then here, I have the wrong sign. Minus m psi. Well, it looks good, except for I've got the wrong sign overall. Why did that happen?
Well, it's equal to zero, you can just...
No, I need the relative sign, that'll be minus. This comes back together as I d slash psi, but I shouldn't have this minus sign. So that sign is a problem. What did I do wrong? Gamma zero... No, that's not it.
Last summer you didn't have that I in there. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there are different conventions for the gamma matrix too. And yeah. All right, if I didn't have the I, you know, there'd be no I here. It didn't play a role here. So without the I here, then taking the conjugate, I just wouldn't have that minus sign there and it would work.
Okay.
So that would agree with what we did last time. You have to work out your conventions. Right. You have to, you know, decide, okay, you know, what are my gamma matrices? You know, if I've got an I there, that probably works if the gamma I are anti-Hermitian and gamma zero is Hermitian. Well, right? Which may be what we had. I think that's what we had when we worked out, I mean, not you and I, but in class when we did the other day.
I know in class last time you wrote that, you know, the anti can meet to negative 2 times identity times eta. But if you put leave the I out, you don't have that net minus.
You don't have that minus sign. Right. That's right. Exactly the sign. Yeah. Yes. Okay, that would make the spatial ones anti-Hermitian. Okay, that would fix it. Then I'd have the minus sign here, not here. Then all the gamma terms have another sign, and this is plus. So, yeah, that would work. So, with the I in, then we have this, that makes these guys positive, gives us the minus sign here. Let's see, did I end up getting that right or not? So pulling this out costs me nothing. What's that?
So flipping that gives you a minus, so it would change the middle sign to a plus.
So that's a plus, but then what happened here? exactly. That's what that does to us. You know, that these need to become the same thing. Why aren't they? It was working a second ago. What happened? We don't have that sign. That's okay. So we should have picked up a minus sign here. So why is that? Okay, so we had minus all of that. The dagger gives a minus. That becomes a plus, then I commute them and get a minus. There we go. Got it.
Oh, there we go.
So minus plus equals zero. And so we can write that as I d by h minus m psi. There we go. Yeah. So you can use either convention, but it makes a difference in which of these can be self-adjoint. If you've got a minus sign in the Clifford algebra, then you're going to need anti-Hermitian matrices to get it. And so that's why we have to have this with the convention that we wrote the other day. Okay, so that answers your question?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So do we want to stay here or move to the other room? Leave it up to you guys. You all vote. There are an odd number of you. I don't care. What do you like?
I don't care.
All in favor of the big room, hands?
Doesn't matter to me. Whatever.
Nobody cares. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
so what's the statement?
I could buy the pictures.
What's that? Can you get...
I get brighter pictures. There's like a shadow on each end of the... Yeah.
Oh, here or there?
Here.
Do you get better pictures over there?
Yeah.
I don't care.
Hey,
that's one
actually,
point. Don't erase that yet, please.
No, that's fine.
How do you pause this? No idea.
Just leave it running.
Yeah, just leave it running.
We'll shuffle our feet.
You can narrate. We are now standing. We are now walking out the door. We're going down the hall.
The play-by-play for the class. He's kind of wandering back and forth in front of the board.
He's pacing. He's looking worried. Will he pull it out, folks?
What a time he's
found.
And he does it! Go!
It's a long shot.
Generators for SU5.
Yeah.
Develop the standard model from SU5.
Like for week 3, yeah.
Your homework. I like that.
Now, if you think we can do it, we should automatically get a job somewhere.
Let's see. Okay, I'm trying to think of... we've done most of the dimensional geometry. All right, why don't you do everything for SL2C? No, we did that for FL2R. Right. So exercise. Prove that FL2R is a group. Finally,
FL2R.
Yeah, just 2 by 2 inches.
Okay, so define so that it is a group. So tell me what the definition is. What is FL2R?
Just 2 by 2 real matrices. Yeah.
One more caveat.
With determinant one.
Yeah. Right. And the determinant one will guarantee they're invertible. Right. So you'll get that that's a group very easily then. Okay, so finitely algebra. Check the Jacobi identity. Let's call this same for SO31. This is the Lorentz group here. So we've done the Lorentz group as FL2C, but you can also do it with 4x4 real matrices. So that's a good one to study. So find the infinitesimal generators, exponentiate. Little 2x2 real matrices, that's not going to be difficult. But then, really explore the Lorentz group in the usual form. That's certainly a good exercise. So, this is what we ran through for SU2, SO3, SO2, FL2C. You know, we did this whole procedure for about 4 or 5 examples, so try it down. Okay. Yeah, thanks for reminding me to ask you to do that. This one is not due quite so soon, but find the Maurer-Cartan equation for, what do you want to do? Oh, that would be good. Let's do SO3. Okay, so I'm gonna run through that in general today. Maurer-Cartan. Which reminds me, does anyone have any problems with Chernian?
Everybody hangs your head.
Lots of sudden deep breath.
Great. Everybody hang your head.
Okay. Shall I assign midterm estimations of grace? It's really easy. Shit.
Okay, I'm thinking the club has failed.
Yeah, well, right now you're on the wrong end of that one, too. Here's the problem. I'll help you if you're having trouble. You know, let me know if you... You know, on some problem sessions or something, and we'll do that. But, compute some things. You know, I don't care if you're still back on differential forms, that's fine. You know, learn differential forms. That's great. That's a tool. You got it. You know, get it. You know, get it as much as you can. But, so the next thing, I think, is to go back, and I want to look at Lie algebras and get the Maurer-Cartan equations. We're going to start developing this quotient tool. So, Maurer-Cartan. Suppose we have, let's start with the Lie algebra. commutators of some generators giving some real linear combination, real constant linear combination of the generators again. These are real constants. Okay, now each GA is a vector field on a manifold on the group manifold, in fact. And we know that we can expand those in terms of a basis. I use Latin letters both places, but so in a coordinate basis, we can write the vector fields this way. Alright, you remember this from last term. We talked about directional derivatives. In this case, that'd be identity, but as equally well at other points on the manifold. This is a sum on M. Think of A, B, C let's think of them as I'm going to call them orthonormal. That's not quite true. There are general bases. And M, N, and so on are coordinate bases. So the G's are vector fields. They form a vector basis. Okay, so I can expand a general vector as a directional derivative as a linear combination of the G's or as a linear combination of the partials, the coordinate partials. XM are coordinates on the group manifold. Any questions?
You all look puzzled. So is there M, not me?
Yeah, I mean, you used to be nice. Okay, if you would rather use Greek and Latin, that's fine. But
well, where would they be different if we had?
They could be used, but either they're not space time, right? We're talking about the group manifold here, so. If we're talking about the Lorentz group, the Lorentz group is a six-dimensional manifold because there are six generators. So this would run from, say, 1 to 6. And you would choose some coordinates on that manifold. Now, we haven't really specified coordinates on these manifolds particularly. We'll get to a point where I will. But... does this or does this not make sense? You're good. Okay. All right. So I want to define dual one form. So omega A is a one form, and if I take the inner product with GT, I want to get delta AB. All right, so this is the definition of the omega. And if I let omega A be a linear combination, omega MA dx M, you know, these are bold. That's bold. I can expand them that way. And I want to use the duality of the coordinate basis for differentials and the coordinate basis for directional derivatives. Okay, that's Kronecker MN. Okay, basis forms and basis vectors are dual to one another. There's a natural inner product there. And there's follows from this. Recall the invariant. If we have, let's say we have a one form omega mu dx mu, and we have a vector d alpha d dx alpha, then omega mu b mu is invariant. All right, in this case, it was general coordinate invariant. Right, to be Lorentzian, it's invariant under whatever group we're talking about. But, and this invariant, where you sum the coefficients of these things, it's just the dot product of the two vectors, right? But you can get it by writing something like this. That is, omega with b, right, the inner product of a form and a vector, using linearity, is omega mu and d alpha, inner product of dx mu with d dx alpha, which I said is Kronecker, mu alpha, gives us that invariant thing. So this is all I'm using. This is stuff we saw maybe briefly, but we saw this last semester. So if your memory's a little less, that's just visiting your memory. Okay. So if not, well, it's nice to see something for the first time. We good? Questions? Okay, so let's see what this says about the omegas. What we have is omega MA dx M, and then we've got the G's expanded with D dx N, and we require, that's a D. We require this to give delta AB. That weird looking thing is supposed to be a B. What do we get? These are linear. So we have these coefficients, and we have those coefficients, and then we have the inner product dxm ddxn equals delta AB. And since this is Kronecker MN, it says that G, B, N, that's just that M to N, omega N A is delta A B. So omega equals G inverse. All right? The inner product of the coefficient matrix G A M is inverse to the coefficient matrix omega AM. And that will keep the two bases dual. Alright, that will preserve that Kronecker delta inner product of those bases. Oh, you guys are so quiet. Somebody sing. No? You did? Okay.
Ta-da.
Ma?
Ta-da.
Okay. So using that, I could, let's write this as G bar and A. Let's just put a bar and invert the order of the indices to indicate that that's the inverse matrix to the G. So I use one or the other to denote G inverse. It's easier if I use G's everywhere at the start. So what I want to do is rewrite the algebra in terms of the omega. Questions?
No, but an aha moment just hit.
Ah.
Good aha moment.
Aha moment, your name. So we have GA GB is GB with A B C G B. And if I write that out, it says GA M G X M. And then that's going to act on G, B, N, D, D, X, N. Let's write this way. C, A, B, C, C is equal to this, minus the same thing the other way around. G, B, N, D, D, X, N. And, you know, everything here is a derivative operator. Think of it as acting on some function. So, but what we're going to get here, we'll have two things. We'll have GAM. Then we have the derivative DM of these coefficients, GDN. With a partial n. And then this dx acts clear to the right, so we also have gam gbn partial m partial n. Minus this term, gbn partial n of gam partial m. Minus the two derivatives G D N G A M D N D M. And these two are the same because those partial derivatives commute. Let me take a pause for questions. What we want to do,
where are we?
Okay. What's the last thing you understood? You get the inner products, okay?
Yeah, I think I've got that part.
So, forms and directional derivatives are dual to one another. All right. So, if I have some one form omega, I can define some one forms omega. You know, given that I have these vector fields G, I can define some one forms omega to be dual to them just by demanding that this be the identity. So, all right, we have these. They're our choice, whatever our choice was for the generators of our group. So now I can define these once I've got those, just by that equation. And I find that that tells me that the coefficients of dx have to be the inverse to the coefficients of the ddx. All right? So I know what these have to be in order for those one forms to be dual to my generators.
Okay.
So now what I'm doing, jump to this board. I take the Lie algebra. Alright, the commutation relations of the Lie algebra. I want to rewrite these in terms of the omega. Well, we never wrote this out before. We didn't write these as vector fields, where we extend each of these generators in terms of a coordinate basis. But we can. And so I've done it here, and the second order terms cancel out, and we get something that is, in fact, an equation between vectors. Right? Some coefficient here has to equal this combination of coefficients there. So this is, it's just the commutators of the algebra expressed in terms of those coefficient matrices. Now what I want to do is multiply by a whole bunch of G inverses so I can turn this into an equation involving the G bars, which I know are the omega. So I'm going to turn that last equation into something in terms of omegas instead of G's.
Yeah, and here we interchange the M's and N's and the indices for that.
Yeah, I call that M and that N so that, or no, I'm sorry. I call that M and that N so that everything had a DM on it.
And you can strip the DM.
Then I can strip the DDXM off. So I pull there's a DDXM, BDXM, BDXM that I've stripped off. So I'm just looking at the coefficients of the components of the vectors. Okay. I'm starting to see some heads nodding. That's better. How about it, Joe?
You know, better. Long ways to go.
Okay. Can I answer any questions on the way?
Can you go through the third line?
Sure.
Actually, from the second to the third.
From here to here?
Yeah.
Okay. Think of this. These are directional derivatives, so think of them as acting on a function. So there's some function out here. This derivative acts on everything to the right. These coefficients can depend on the coordinates. In general, they do. So that derivative goes to differentiate that and that function f. So there's an f out here. Like that. So I'm just using, alright, here's a function, there's a function, I differentiate, so I get two terms. Here's where the derivative hits the g. I'm abbreviating my partials here, that's just the partial derivative there. And here's where that derivative hits the f, is here.
Okay.
So each of these terms gives me two terms. This gives me those two, this gives me those two. And then the mixed second partials just cancel. So it ends up being a relationship just in first derivative. And so it's still a vector equation. So now we multiply by a whole bunch of G inverses. Let's see. So, what are the free indices? I've got an A and a B here, and I've got an M. So there are three free indices. I probably want to end up multiplying all of them. So I want a G bar. Okay, I've got a let's say R. So I've got an A and a B free. So G bar S B. And then I've got an M free. So I want a G bar M D. Okay, so I'm multiplying by three inverse G in such a way that I'm going to be able to get rid of all these G. And now I want to write that equation. So I have C A B C, G, M, C, M. What's that?
Oh,
it's
10 C, M.
And that will be equal to the same three on the other side. And all this stuff. G, A, N, G, N, G, B. M, N, G, B, N, G, N, G, M. Okay. And now these, a couple of these just land here. This one gives a Kronecker DC. Those are inverse matrices. You just get a Kronecker. So for the left side, we get CAB, Kronecker CD makes it a D up here. And then we have a G bar RA and a G bar SB. Then here, this one is going to give a Kronecker NR. So we have a G bar SB, G bar MD. And then Kronecker NR makes this a partial with respect to R of G, D, M. Minus. It could be the same thing with A and B interchange. So what happens? We have a G bar. This one's going to go away. So we're going to have RA. This with this G gives a Kronecker NS. Then we have a G bar MD partial. The N becomes an S. And we have a G, A, M. Okay. Now, I want to use the product rule on that pair and that pair. So, just carrying along the G bar M, D, I can write this times the derivative of that as the derivative of the product dr of g bar s d g d m minus the derivative of that one times this one g d m times the derivative r of g bar s d. So I've written that term as the difference of these two. I can do the same on the second one. Does everybody see what I'm doing? Any questions on how I'm doing this? Okay. So,
I have a question.
Yes, please. What you got?
So it looks kind of like you factored out the first term?
But
But I'm bringing this out front.
Right.
And I'm left with G partial G.
But you can't sort her.
Okay. I'm writing G partial G as the derivative of the product minus this G times the derivative of that one. Right. What I'm doing is it's like I have F partial G, and I'm writing it as the partial of FG minus G partial F. That's the idea. That's the pattern. Except they're matrices. In fact, what matrix is that? What's that one getting?
It's
going
to be a
Kronecker.
They're inverse to one another. The derivative of a Kronecker?
Zero.
Zero. So that term is going to go away. And all I've done is I've thrown this derivative over there, which is going to pick up a minus sign. So now it gives it, in terms of the derivative of the G bar, so I'm getting the G bar is under the derivative. Let me do the other one. Same trick. I pull out that matrix, and then I'm going to write it as partial F of the product G bar RA G AM minus GAM times the partial F of G bar RA. And once again, this one is a Kronecker and gives me zero. Questions? And now I happen to have a couple of G bars, M's, in just the right position to get rid of that one. So, the first term, I get minus, and then this gives me a Kronecker VD times partial R G bar FD. Then the second one, these two give me, all right, I have a plus, and then this gives me a Kronecker AD and I have partial F of G bar R A. The Kronecker I can bring inside the derivative. It's constant, so it doesn't hurt. I can bring it right in and change that B index to a D, partial R G bar F D plus partial F G bar R D. I'll suddenly sound louder. Does everybody have the problem down?
Most importantly, you have a photo of it?
Yes. All right. Let me work back over here. So, let's see what we've got. Let me write this as the partial of S G bar, and I'm just going to rewrite this, R D minus partial R G S D equals C A B D G bar R A G bar S and that's a bar. So I've gotten everything in terms of bars now. Now recall that omega MA is just G bar MA, and that omega is omega MA summed on some basis dx. So I want to turn these into one form. What I want to do is multiply by dx s wedge dx r. Now, when I do that, this is anti-symmetric in RS. Am I going to lose any information?
Good.
right? I'm going to multiply this into this equation. What tells me whether I lose any information or not?
Both sides are already anti-symmetric.
Both sides are anti-symmetric. This is clearly anti-symmetric in R and S, so I'm not going to lose anything here. Over here, remember the structure constants are anti-symmetric in AB. So if I interchange those, I can fix it just by interchanging those, that gives me a minus sign. So this is anti-symmetric under RS interchange as well. So, good. I don't lose anything. I just am able to make things into form. So I have DS C bar R D DX S wedge DX R minus partial R C bar S D let me write this as C bar M A D X M D X S wedge D X R equals, and then on this side, C A B D. And then I have a G bar R A G bar S B D X S wedge D X R. Okay. What's that?
That's the
dual
throw
omega.
Exterior derivative.
Or no. One's got it. Exterior derivative. That's the omega.
Oh, wow.
Everybody sees it?
Yes.
Right? We take the partial of the coefficient and put a dx in here. So think of this as g bar dx is omega, omega d. And I'm taking d of it, so that gives me the partial and another d. Yes. Right? So that's the omega. What's this one?
It will be if you interchange those.
Interchange those, and I change that to a plus.
So you're going to get 2d
and now I get another d omega d. Same thing. On this side, what do I have? I've got to interchange them, right? Because I want that dxr with this to make an omega a. I want the dxs with that one to make... All right, that right there is an omega b, but to bring this one next to that, I get a minus sign. A, b, d. Then I have omega A wedge omega B. And we're there. The omega D is equal to, I get two of these, so I divide by the two. And we have C A B D omega A wedge omega B, and that is the Mallet-Cartan equation. So that expresses the same relationship as the commutators of the Lie algebra. But now, as a differential equation on form. Now, one thing you had some problems where you had to solve some differential equations with forms. You had d of something with some functions and basis forms and stuff. How did you know whether it was integrable or not?
T squared equals 0.
Yeah. So. We need d squared equals 0. So let's check. We need 0 equal to d squared of omega d. And if I take d of the other side, those c's are constant. So I'm going to get d of omega a wedge omega b. And then passing the one form, I'm going to have a minus omega a wedge d omega b. So that had better be 0. Well, it's not going to be at all obvious that it is for a little while, but we'll get there. what's D of omega A? Well, I can replace that using this. So I can write this as minus 1/2. See, now I got to use something besides ABCD. Let's say EF, and then A has to be the up index. And then we've got an omega E wedge omega F wedge this omega B. Right, that's the first term. Then the second term, we have plus 1/2 CABB. And we have an omega A. And now this D omega B we can write as minus 1/2 thesis E F B omega E wedge omega F. Like that. Let's see, that's what we've got. So now let's combine those and see what it turns into. I told you what it is.
If you move your omega B over two spots, you can keep the same sign from that first term. That we have the same basis on the
What I do?
I'm just thinking.
There's no mistake. All right. So let's see what we've got. EFA. EFD, yeah, we're going to be okay here.
Yeah.
We have zero, but let me cancel a factor of 4 of 1/4. So I've got two factors of 1/2 on each one. So this first one, I'm going to have the ABD, the EFA. And then I've got omega EFB, omega E wedge, omega F wedge, omega B. And the second one, I have a minus sign, I have a CABD, I have a CEFB, and omega BEF. Is that right? No, AEF. Okay, now, I want to claim that these are the same thing, because if I interchange AB here, I get a minus sign, that makes this plus. Then I rename those two indices. So what I want to do is call this plus C, C, A, D, D, E, F, B, omega A wedge, omega E wedge, omega F, equals. And now I want to rename, I want to call BA and AB. So this is the same as AB, D, C, E, F, A, omega B, omega E, omega F. Does everyone agree that I can replace that negative second term with the thing I've written here? But notice that this is the same as the first. I can move that omega B to the end, with a plus sign because it's passing to one form. So I just get twice the first thing. The two terms are actually the same. So what I have is C A B D C E F A omega E wedge omega F wedge omega B. Where I have I've thrown out a factor of 2. I've canceled off a factor of 2. All right, well, what does that say? That's some constraint on the structure concept. Right? Since it's a 3 form, that's the same as saying C, A, B, D, C, E, F, A, anti-symmetrized on B, E, F equals 0. All right, that bracket's just anti-symmetrizing. So that's what the vanishing of that tree form is equivalent to. Well, where could we possibly find some identity like that?
Jacobi.
The answer is the Jacobi. Let's look carefully at what the Jacobi says about the structure constant. if I look at GA with GB with GC, all right, we know from associativity this has to be zero when we cycle these. Let's use the structure constant. So, using the Lie algebra, this is just C, B, C, D, G, A. So I'm replacing this inside bracket with a structure constant and a GD. And then I replace that inside bracket with a C, C, A, D, GD. And I replace this inside bracket with a C, A, D, 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 D. So that's got to be zero. And now, going one more step, we have C, B, C, D. Then this gives me C, A, D, E, G, E. This one gives me, I have a C, C, A, D, and then the other the B, D commutator gives me B, D, E, G, E. And finally, C, A, B, D. And then here we get a C sub C, D, E, G, E. Well, I can remove the basis form, the generators, and this just becomes an identity among the C's. So let's see what it is. Let's see, B, C, D, C, A, D, E, plus C, C, A, D, C, B, D, E. Plus C A B C C D C D E. And I claim that's anti-symmetrization. Notice that I can the only thing that's changing is the A B C here. Here I've got A B C cyclically permuted. Well, that makes sense because that's what we started with, cyclically permuting A B C. But since each of these C's is anti-symmetric, I can write this as a half C B C D C A D E minus C C B D C A D E. This one I anti-symmetrize as C A C A D C B D E minus C A C B C B, D, E. And finally, A, B here, so C, A, B, D, C, C, D, E, minus C, B, A, D, C, C, D, E. And now, those are exactly all six permutations of A, B, C. That's just three times the total anti-symmetrization, B, C, D, C, A, C, E. So, in fact, the Jacobi identity is equivalent to the anti-symmetrization of a product of a pair of structure constants. Question? Nathan?
Well, I'm a little confused here, but isn't for the generator the two dimensions?
How many dimensions?
The box equation you have right there. You're
yeah.
Using the three dimensions, right?
It's at least three dimensions.
Oh, okay.
Right. The group is n-dimensional. You know, if we're talking about SO42, it's, you know, 42 times 41 over 2 or something. You know, could be big. But if it's smaller than three-dimensional, then then the Jacobi's automatic.
Right.
Yeah. If it's smaller than three-dimensional, then it's one or two dimensional. If it's one dimensional, it commutes, so all the C's are zero anyway. If it's two dimensional, you can't anti-symmetrize three things, so the Jacobi will always have a pair, and it'll be an identity no matter what you do. So those two cases are easily checked to be immediate.
Could it cover your question? Or was there
sort of.
Okay, try again.
Sorry, but each of those generators, right? T, A, T, B, T,
D. Yeah.
That means that in the dimension of the group, there's three dimensions.
No.
Okay.
A, B, and C run from one to the dimension of the group,
okay,
which is arbitrary.
Alright, so they're not generators, just a group of
them. No, they're generators. Okay. But there may be lots of them. So the Jacobi identity is really something on the order of n cubed, different equations. There's a lot of equations there.
Okay.
Right, one for each A, B, and C, so it's n cubed equations, you know, some of which are redundant or trivial. But it's a lot of equations.
Alright, okay.
Other
questions? So this is the only way you can find what the omegas are, right? What the forms are? This is the American equation.
The only way to find out what the forms are? Well, we could we could find a... we could solve the Lie algebra equations, the commutator. We could find the vector field, right? I mean, sometimes we've done that.
Right.
And just, you know, then compute whatever's dual to those. You know, we choose some vector fields that satisfy the commutator algebra. And then, all right, there are some one-forms dual to those, so just use the dual relations to find them.
Actually, that was kind of my aha moment. He was asking about, I was worried about, I was like, wait, why is... and then I noticed the D on the omega, and I thought, oh, it's a whole space of omegas, that's not just one omega.
Yeah, the D runs from 1 to n as well.
Right.
So there are n Maurer-Cartan equations, and they're two-form equations, so we have quite a lot of equations there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my aha moment.
Okay. Other questions?
Is there something to be gained from the
interpretation
of that equation, the
Maurer-Cartan
equation?
Well, we're going to be using the Maurer-Cartan equation quite a bit. What I'm going to want to do is, in particular, to look at it when we take a quotient of a group by a subgroup. Because in that case, it'll break up into parts. You know, depending on whether the omegas span the subgroup or span the fibers, or well, they span, either they span the base manifold or they span the fibers, and we'll break them up according to which they span, and it gives a very nice way of generalizing that geometry. So we have a geometry with local symmetry. We'd like to generalize that manifold. And we'd like to generalize it in a way that still respects the symmetry of those fibers. And starting from this, we'll have a very nice way to do that.
That's the proof that it comes.
The
this is
the proof I think I mentioned yesterday.
But you're saying you're going to show us a proof that, you know, if you gauge over truth by a subgroup, then, you know, I believe then based on that very good. Base manifold will have the symmetry of the fibers, or something.
We will demand that.
Oh, okay.
In fact, that's one of the conditions we're going to require of our generalization of these equations.
Okay.
So we're going to generalize them, but we're going to generalize them in such a way that we don't muck up that fiber symmetry. That's the horizontality condition on the curvatures.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll see that. All right. Where do we go next?
Before you go, can we take a look at this very last line?
Mm-hmm.
The notation shows anti-symmetrization.
Yeah, we're anti-symmetrizing three indices. So that bracket includes the 1 over 3 factorial times all of these terms. So what that square bracket means is I add every permutation of those three indices with a minus sign for each interchange.
Okay.
With a 1 over 1, 2, 3 factorial.
So that's how we get...
That's why I put the 3, yeah, because we have the half.
We have the half.
Yeah.
Okay, you didn't actually have to do anything...
I just used the anti-symmetry that the C's already had. So this is the same as that.
Okay.
Just writing it in a way that makes the anti-symmetrization clearer. So, an example? How about an example? Let's find the Maurer-Cartan equations for something. What? SO3, some group. Okay, so...
what's the group from from string theory? I don't know.
DA?
Yeah. Just kidding.
That's for homework.
What is EA?
Find the form.
Well, all right. First question, what's the dimension of EA?
Yeah.
I think it's 252.
All right.
And it does not have a matrix representation. It's very sad.
Why isn't it one-third instead of three?
Because this
includes 1 over
3 factorial was in the denominator.
That bracket includes the 1 over 3 factorial.
Right. So 3 factorial is in the denominator, and we've already got...
This expression is the 1/6 of that.
Okay.
1/6 times 3.
Right, okay.
Got it? Good. Okay. So, example. SO3. We know that the generators satisfy the Lie algebra. And the structure constants are just the three-dimensional Levi-Civita tensor, the anti-symmetric symbol. It's really the anti-symmetric symbol, not the tensor. Yeah.
Before I let you do this, do you sign that problem?
What's that?
Do you sign that problem for the moment?
Oh, good point.
But you go over the sign.
Let's see.
SO3-1?
Oh, you're right, it was.
SO3-1. SO3 is pretty easy.
Yeah.
No, I'll do that too.
There's
one generator. Okay, the dual form equals 1.
We have a 0 for
and the Maurer-Cartan equation. It is omega d omega equals 0. Structure constants are all 0. Well, structure constants, there's only 1. And we can even solve it, and we get omega is d phi for some angle phi, and the group is either the real line or the circle or something like that, where phi is a perfectly good coordinate on either of those. So we're sort of done with SO2. That wasn't hard. Let's see. Okay, if you made my work a lot easier, let's pick another example. How about... let's see. Yeah.
Can you just do all three?
O3, well, looks a lot like SO3. There's one more generator. That's a discrete symmetry anyway. So it's the same Lie algebra as SO3. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what could we do? GL, I had to do GL2R as well. Let's see, SO2C, we could do the Lorentz group, we could do SU2. That's going to look an awful lot like SO3. Try and find something simple enough. Oh, let's just... That's something non-trivial that you're not doing for homework.
You already signed up.
I'm going to have to get started.
So anything I do, your homework is going to be a subgroup of it. Oh no.
Let's try SL2C.
You really want to see a unified model, then? All right. Anybody remember our structure constants for this? We had some J's, which were I times the polys, and we had some K's that were just polys. Right. So JI with JJ, we get... we might have had a factor of 2 in here. Let's see. So 2 polys is going to give twice upon IJK JK. Then JI with KJ. All right, what is that? That's going to be I times the commutator sigma I with sigma J, which is I, then we get 2i epsilon ijk sigma k. So we get minus 2 epsilon ijk, and a sigma k is going to be a k. Okay.
Shouldn't that top one be a k and not a j?
No, because the j's form a subgroup.
Right.
It's got to close back into the j's for these to be rotations, because we know the rotations are a subgroup of the Lorentz group.
Right.
I didn't check the sign. Is the sign right?
I'm just keeping track of that I. It's going to go I.
All right, should we check it? Let's do it. This is I squared sigma I sigma J. Maybe there's a minus sign. So we get a minus from that. Then we get 2 I upon I J K sigma K. So, yeah, it's a minus 2 upon I J K. The I sigma K gives us a J.
2i? Where did the I come from? Oh, okay.
Just the commutator of the polys has an I.
Yeah, I was missing that I from the commutator of the polys. I don't forget for a second.
And then 2k's give a J. Whoops.
Yeah.
2k's.
Okay.
Let's check the sign here. So 2k's, we get 2i upon ijk sigma K, which is twice that's on IJK, JK. So there's the Lie algebra. Now we want to introduce dual forms. So let's introduce some omegas that are dual to the J's. And we need some, let's call them eta's, that are dual to the K's. So that's delta ij. And eta with j is 0, omega with k is 0. So we have 6 1 forms. And we should be able to write the Maurer-Cartan equations directly, since we know what the structure constants are. So we have d of omega I is minus a half, and our structure constant, C, A, B, this one has to match that one. So that's an omega type. Let's see. Let's put a caret on these indices. Let me choose indices A, B, C, and so on, equal to either I equals 1, 2, 3, or I hat equals 1, 2, 3. So we have six different values for the capital Latin indices. Right? The structure constants, you have 6 by 6 by 6 here. There are 6 generators. So we have to make sure we're summing over everything. But these two have to match. These have to sum over all... then, in concert with that, let's let omega A be either omega I or eta I hat. So, as this runs 1 to 6, I runs 1 to 3, I hat runs 1 to 3. Just a way of keeping track of which ones we're talking about. So, here, this is omega A wedge omega B, but I have to write this all out. So, what are the possibilities? A can be I or I, or J hat, B can be K or K hat. So I have a J, K, I with omega J wedge omega K. Then I have J hat, K, I with, all right, that would be an eta J and an omega K. I just have to be sure I sum over everything in sight. Then I could have a J with a K hat, I, and I'll have an omega J and an eta K hat. And finally, I could have J hat K hat I, eta eta. Now, a bunch of these are zero. Oh, sorry. Notice a J with a J doesn't give J and K stuff, it only gives J stuff. So this is C I J K. But C I J, the commutator of two J's, K hat, there is no K term here, so those are all zero. And if I look here, I see that C sub I with a J hat gives me a K hat, but C I J hat does not give any K stuff. There's no J in this one. So that's zero. And here, two K's give a J, so I see that an I hat J hat never gives a K hat. So that one's zero. So a bunch of the possible structure constants I could have are zero here. And I'm just looking at what occurs on the right-hand side. There's no k-hat term here, so that's zero. In this one, there's no j on the right, so that is zero. And here, there's no k on the right, so the k-hat up part is zero. So some of these go away. So if I have a J, 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 well, that's this epsilon. So I have minus a half, then C, J, K, I is this thing right here, minus 2 epsilon I, J, K. J, K, I in this case. Omega J wedge omega K. Then here, J hat K, I. Okay, a J hat with a K, or an I with a J hat gives a K hat. It does not give a K. So the next one, this term is zero. Similarly, this one is zero. Because a J with a K hat, that is a J generator with a K generator never gives a J. Then two K's do give a J, so this one is not zero. So we have minus a half, and then J hat, K hat, I, that's this one. So this would be like an I hat, and you know this is C I hat J hat gives us a K. So that pressure constant is twice epsilon. So we get it's plus twice epsilon this time. Epsilon J K I eta J eta. Okay. You can put hats if you want. But now the sum is over 1, 2, 3 in any case. So let's see, here we get epsilon I J epsilon J K I omega J wedge omega K minus epsilon J K I eta J eta K. That's D of omega I.
Not a bad equation.
Yeah. Now let's look at the D eta. That's a half thing. So minus a half C A B I hat omega A wedge omega B. It's a little notational awkwardness because we're using two indices that run 1 through 3 instead of one that runs 1 through 6. Maybe we could have named them better, but is everybody doing okay with the notation? You're all right? Okay. So let me expand this out. Four terms again. So if I have an I, J, J, K, I hat, omega, J wedge, omega, K, then I can have mixed terms. So a J hat, K, I hat, eta J wedge, omega, K. And we've got then a J K hat I hat with omega J wedge eta K hat, and finally C J hat K hat I hat eta J hat wedge eta K hat. Yeah, this time it's the other pair that go away. So the first one is the commutator of two J's giving a K. The commutator of two J's doesn't give a K, so that's zero. The last one is the commutator of two K's giving a K, but two K's give a J, so that one is zero. And then the others are going to be plus or minus two epsilon. Let's see. A J hat with a K. That's KJ. All right, that first one is a K with a J, not a J with a K. So it's going to be minus this. So, let's see. If I write the commutator of a K, well, what is it exactly I need? A J hat with a K, with a JK. That's going to be... Yeah, I've got an I from that one, then I've got a sigma J with a sigma K. So we get 2i is minus 2 epsilon J K M sigma M. So that's a K. Minus 2 epsilon J K M K M. And that's the structure constant we want. It's a J hat, K, I hat. Call that one, last one a hat. So there's a minus 2 epsilon. So here we have minus a half. Then this is minus 2 epsilon J, K, I, eta J wedge, omega K. Now this one is, it's in this order, it's J with K. And we see that it's also a minus 2. So we have minus a half, then we get minus 2 times epsilon J K I omega J wedge eta K. Whoa. Does that go away? What happened there?
Go away.
So if I flip that and flip those, no, I get two ohms. They're two sine flips. I flip the JK on the epsilon and I flip. So I interchange these so I get a minus sign. But now the second index is summed on the first eta, whereas here the first on the first. So I have to interchange the JK here as well. That gives another sign. So I just get two of the same thing. So finally, d eta I is going to be, okay, plus 2 plus 2. So I'm going to have a factor of 2 times epsilon J K I eta J, which, oh my god, okay. And those are the Maurer-Cartan equations for SL2C.
Then you call for eta and omega somehow.
Well, yeah. We could. Let me see. How would I go about that? A local Lorentz transformation, if I change the notation a little bit, a local Lorentz transformation will do it. You know, if, okay, this is some fancy footwork, okay, but if I define omega AB to be C BCD BCA omega C. So I'm just using the structure constants to replace my one index omegas by some two index omegas. Then the Maurer-Cartan equations become d. All right, I've got these Maurer-Cartan. Let me write them: c b c a omega c ledge omega c. Now what I want to do is multiply that by c sub d a e. So I'm summing on this middle one. So I want to sum there. So this becomes a two index thing. Then over here, let me see if I can do this. Yeah, the problem is C, B, C, A, C, D, A, E, omega B, wedge, omega C. This one's okay. This is D, omega, E, D. But this one's a little tricky because both of these are on the same one. I need to use the Jacobi identity. So let me write this as I'm summed on A, I've got a free E, I can cycle B, C, D and write this as minus C, C, D, A, C, D, A, E, minus C, D, B, A, C, C, A, E. Times omega B, which omega C. And now I've got a BC, I've got a BC, so I've got them split. I'm just going to hopefully get two of the same thing. The first term, let's see, we have a plus 1/2, and then, if I interchange those, I get a minus. This C on that one, I interchange, get a minus. Let's see. Looks like I have an overall minus. And then I'll have... Let me count mine. Okay, these two give me a plus. I get a minus sign by interchanging these. So I have C sub C, D, A, omega C, wedge. And then this one... C, B, A, E, omega B. Okay, and I interchange those two and those two, the two signs cancel, and those turn into two index omegas. Then for the second term, plus a half here, and now the B is in the right place, the C is not. So I'm going to get a minus omega D, A, omega, equation omega, EA, like that. And so finally, this one turns into minus omega dA wedge omega AE. And this is the same thing. So the half goes away. And I'm off by a sign. But other than that, I know how to write the solution to that equation. Oh, sorry. That was a pretty trivial example.
I took a picture of it. You got to work on the board.
Okay. What was this one? Anything? That was K with J.
Okay.
Thanks. Let A to AB equal minus omega AB. That just looks the sign. So then D A to AB is omega CB wedge omega AC. Okay, that's equivalent to what I've written down there. And in this form, I happen to know what the solution is. It's a pure, oh, sorry, A's. These are A's. A to AB is equal to minus the exterior derivative of lambda AC lambda bar, the inverse, CB, where lambda AC is a local Lorentz transformation. So these six matrices, all right, these are anti-symmetric on AB. It follows from the definition after a bit of work. This is a pure gauge solution for the Lorentz group. And what it allows me to do is choose local Lorentz coordinates. Right? I can choose a different Lorentz transformation at every point, and this will give me a solution of the Maurer-Cartan equation. So you can already see the local symmetry playing a role here. Now we want to take a quotient before we see that local symmetry on the fiber, but here it's all fiber. So we're just solving the group equations. We haven't generalized them yet. There's no curvature or anything like that. So the solution involves a Lorentz transformation at each point. It can be a different Lorentz transformation at each point. So that's the most general solution to those equations. You recognize this as vanishing curvature. Right. So it's a pure gauge solution. Okay, did anybody follow all of that?
That was pretty quick.
It's an occasional trick because I happen to know how to write that solution that way. We could look at the equations in this form and if eta is zero, let me teach a little differential geometry. There's a wonderful theorem called the Frobenius theorem. And it's very easy to see when it applies to a set of differential equations like this. If d of something is proportional to that something, at least linear in that something on the right. So we've got d of a one form is some linear combination, some two form stuff over here. If there's an eta in every term on this side, then these one forms are said to be in involution. When they're in involution, then you can find coordinate sets that they're zero. You can set them to zero consistently, right? Setting A to zero solves three of my equations. Now, it's a special solution, but it's one solution, and what the Frobenius theorem tells me is that the remaining forms, in this case the omegas, span a submanifold. And I can solve for the omegas on that submanifold, and that gives me information about the whole space. Well, if I set the eta's to zero, there's your answer for SO3 right there. That's the rotation subgroup. And I can solve that equation first, and then I can generalize adding the eta's back in and try and solve for the whole thing. So it gives me a way of solving equations like this. This involution condition, the change in a form being proportional to the form again, is an integrability condition. It says if I start integrating eta, you know, the changes in eta all lie in the eta submanifold, so I can actually go ahead and integrate all the way off and get a solution. So in this case, the Frobenius theorem, let me state it. I in involution which means basically, I guess at least when you're on that side, means that there exists coordinates, let's call them y sub I, such that I can write a to I as some linear combination of just the y's, so some coefficient matrices here, let's call it aij, dx, or dyj, setting yi equal constant, and hence eta equals zero, specifies submanifolds which are now described by the reduced equation. That is, eta equals zero equations, which are, in this case, d omega I equal epsilon j k I omega j wedge omega. Okay. So we solve those, and we have a solution on the submanifold of the space. Now we can extend that solution by adding in stuff that's linear in dy, and then trying to solve the whole system. So it gives us a technique for solving, a very useful one. Notice we could not have done that with the J. The omegas are not involute, right? Because this is not at least linear in the omegas again. So omega equals zero is not going to give a solution to this equation. Can't do it with the omegas, can do it with the eta's. And solving that, well, that's basically solving SO3. And the solution for SO3 ought to be something like a local SO3 transformation, right? We ought to be able to write each of those omegas using some, you know, in terms of some arbitrary SO3 transformation, probably times a structure constant with Tulsi. Yeah, we can try it and see.
So, this initial substitution of eta?
Oh, this here?
Yeah. Is that the same eta?
Oh, no. This is a two. This is just another name for these two index of negative.
Sorry, this is
all I was doing was fixing the sign. I had a funny minus sign here. So I just, I had the omega AB is minus omega CD wedge omega AC. I had that equation. I just wanted to get rid of that sign.
I'm sorry, I was off script.
Yeah, now this is, okay, these are the structure equations for SL2C. The Maurer-Cartan structure equation. Alright, as a way of solving these directly, I use the Frobenius theorem to choose coordinates such that eta is purely dy. That exists because this equation is infinite. Then, that means I can hold the y's constant and solve these. Well, this is a three-dimensional system that has solutions in terms of, you know, probably some x's. And, let me see. Yeah. Yeah, shall we press on with that solution? You want to see how it would proceed? Should I try it? Or, yeah, I mean, if you have to go, we can.
I'm getting close to having to go.
Yeah, sure. Do I want to play with it? Okay, let Juan get his picture here and we'll see what happens. I don't know what happens. I haven't tried to solve this, but I think we probably can. So, let's see. How do we know that can be solved? So what we want to do first, or at this point, is solve the reduced system, d omega I is f1 jk I omega j wedge omega k. It's a three-dimensional system. It spans. It's a three-dimensional manifold. It's a submanifold. So there are only three coordinates now. So the omegas are can be written as some matrices times some the x alpha L equals 1, 2, 3. Right? There's some sort of free form. Now, let me see. Well, I could do the same trick. Alright. You know, if I were to replace or define a two-index omega as, I'll put the minus sign in up front now, epsilon jki omega k. So if I define that, then what I get is, all right, multiply this by minus epsilon, what do I want? IJK, so let's take M I N D omega I. All right, and that's going to be minus D omega N M equals minus epsilon M I N F1 J K I omega J wedge omega K. And now I want to use, let's see, probably could have done with a factor of a half here somewhere. But if I use the Jacobi identity on these, I can write this as, let's see, what's from here? I. So let me write this as epsilon j k I summed with epsilon m I n omega j wedge omega k, and I want to use the Jacobi identity on j k m to write this as minus epsilon k m I epsilon j I n plus epsilon m j I epsilon K I N omega J wedge omega K. And that's going to give, okay, let's see, the J here and the K there. Okay, flip both of those, it's sort of the same sign problem. So we're going to get plus omega I M omega N I. And we should get the same thing here. There's an omega M I. Here's, K, that's a minus. I. What link? Oh, I used that sign. I forgot this sign. So minus, then I interchange that one, makes it a plus. Okay, so it's okay. Wedge omega n I. So I get two of these things. Two omega I m wedge omega n I. And, oh, now my signs are funny. I shouldn't have used the minus sign this time. Is that right? Oh, because I didn't have the minus a half. So if I don't put that sign, we're okay. That's fine. This one... Wait a minute. Let me not beat the test. I just want to get my normalization right here. So if I let omega I j equal minus 1/2 times some eta I j, then substituting I get plus 1/2 d of eta I j is equal to, I have a 2 here, I have 2 minus signs, I have a half twice, minus a half twice, and then eta I m wedge eta n I. And now all the extra factors cancel, so I have d eta I j is eta I m wedge eta n I.
Gotta go.
I do have to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I meet you a little early on Friday?
Sure.
Just come and find you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Class size until, you know, like quarter after 2
maybe,
and
maybe
I'll be back over here.
I'll catch you there on the walk over.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. See you then. Okay. So, I believe that we'll find that minus D lambda IJ lambda bar with KJ is the solution to this. Everybody's leaving. I don't blame you. Let me just check it. The eta IJ, alright, that's going to give D lambda IK wedge D lambda bar KJ. That has to be equal to all of this, the two minus signs go away, so I have d lambda I, let's see, I need a dummy index here, k is okay, lambda bar k m wedged with d lambda n s, lambda bar s I, and then I just have to integrate these two by parts, so I get a minus lambda I k. Right, the sum of these is the Kronecker's, so d of it is zero, so I can just put a minus and throw the d over onto the other one, lambda bar s I. Then we have a lambda bar k m d lambda n s, and these two give a Kronecker I m. So we get minus D lambda bar S M wedge D lambda, wait, M, that needs to be an N. Let's see, these are summed, right?
there, I had it rung up there. Those were summed. The I's are summed. Sorry. Oh, my indices are all messed up. This should have been M. N, M here.
Yeah.
So, free IJ there means that I should have had, those are summed. The free indices should have been J, I here. Then I threw the D over onto that. That should be an S, N. This should be N, K. Right, that's all right. Then this pair should be KF, I, J. Okay, then I have a lambda lambda bar. I get a Kronecker NJ. So that N becomes a J, and we have an IF here. And that's the same. Flip these to get rid of the sign, and the two are the same.
So it's a solution.
So that does solve the equation, where the only property that I've used for that lambda, let's see, what is that lambda? It could be anything. It should be a rotation matrix. A three-dimensional rotation matrix. let's see. I wonder how I see that that's the case. This is constructed from the structure constants, so there's an epsilon in these guys. And that... let's see. Now, they shouldn't have to be anti-symmetric. How do I see that those are rotations? They need to be rotations. This is a function of x. These things are just dx type things. Quick sketch. I've effectively found my omega I's. So there's some sort of d lambda. Lambda inverse thing. Now, when I go back to the full, if I take eta not equal to zero, there could be another part here, bij eta j. And I already know that the eta i's are some matrix aij dyj. Right? And this stuff is just in terms of dx. So I would take that onbus and substitute into the full equation back here and try and solve for A and B.
Okay.
The differential forms give you some real power. You know, you have a lot of tools once you get used to them.
And those, it sort of allows for like a physical representation too, you know. More of a deeper meaning, I guess.
The thing is, these omegas actually are the gauge fields, right? And by the time we add curvatures or field strength, there'll be, you know, those will come into these equations. That's actually how we modify it. So in that case, solving for the gauge field.
Yeah.